Let us continue in this hour of prayer, and I draw your attention to the three prayer quilts this morning. If after the service you would take a moment to stop at the table and tie a knot and sign the card, we will wrap these three individuals in the prayers of this congregation. Let us be in prayer together. God of us all, you have asked us to gather together as a community of faithful people. And so we gather this morning. Some of us come with words of praise, some with doubts, some with worries, some not quite sure why we're here and what to expect. But Lord, we know that you are faithful and you will attend to each and every one of our needs. Lord, we know that we do not always pay attention to the work that you are about in our lives. And so as we pause today to think back on our week, let us recognize the places where you have been present, either in the silence of our prayers, in the words of a friend, in the eyes of a stranger, in the care that you have shown by others' hands caring for us. Lord, help us to see you at work in our lives. And we know, Lord, that you are at work in our world as well, Lord, that as we praise you for the beauty of nature and all creation, that even in those places where people have become overwhelmed, we offer, Lord, prayers for those in California who, after months of drought, are now got water beyond their capabilities. Lord, for those who have been affected in the floods and the landslides, those whose lives are disrupted, and Lord, for those whose lives have ended, we ask that your spirit of peace and comfort be with them. Lord, your spirit can be in places that we can't be, and so we ask that your spirit be in all places of darkness this day, for those who struggle in the darkness of bad health, who face the darkness of their own minds, for the uncertainty of disease, and for the uncertainty of life continuing on, for those who face their final days, Lord, have your spirit be present in ways that they might know your unfailing love and faithfulness. And Lord, be with all of those in this world who make decisions, who lead, who are in positions of power. Lord, that their power might be a reflection of yours, that they might lead with compassion and mercy, forgiveness and justice, that your love and your kingdom might prevail in this world, in every corner, in every place, and in every person. And Lord, there are things that we cannot put into words, those things which we are ashamed of, for which we ask forgiveness, for people that we want your attention to be directed to. And in this time of silent meditation, Lord, we offer all of those to your holy hands. Lord, you call us to gather in prayer and song and praise. And Lord, you call us because you love us beyond all our understanding. You sent Jesus among us to show us the depth and breadth of that love. And when his disciples asked him to teach them how to connect with you in prayer, he taught them these words. And so we offer them now to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we were praying, it was like my mind was in a television set. When we have trauma or death or abuse that happens to us, it's like we play it over and over again, like 9/11. It's like special report. There it is. It's back in our face. It just doesn't leave us. It plays over and over. And in my life, when that started happening to me, it was like I had to shake myself up a little bit. I had to wake from this drunken stupor and say, wait a second. God said he'd never leave me or forsake me, that he's right there with me. I just have to praise him. He says he inhabits the praises of his people. He's there. He's with us when we call that. And so Father gave me a reminder, and it was this song. It doesn't matter if I'm smiling gray, feeling fine on a cloudy day. It doesn't matter if I skin my knee, if I'm falling down as the world's chasing me. You work all things for my good. You work all things for my good. Every word that's given me, winter's blast or summer's breeze, every touch that I have known, good or bad, they all will show. You work all things for my good. You work all things for my good. I'll praise you in the storm, I'll praise you in the rain, praise you in the joy, I'll praise you in the pain. Every place I go and every place I've been, the evidence of God surrounds me again. For you work all things for my good. Oh, you work all things for my good. It doesn't matter if I'm smiling gray, feeling fine on a cloudy day. It doesn't matter if I skin my knee, if I'm falling down as the world's chasing me. For you work all things for my good. I'll praise you in the storm, I'll praise you in the rain, praise you in the joy, I'll praise you in the pain. Every place I go and every place I've been, evidence of God surrounds me again. I'll praise you in the storm, I'll praise you in the rain, praise you in the joy and praise you in the pain. Every place I go and every place I've been, the evidence of God surrounds me again. For you work all things for my good. You work all things for my good. Oh, you work all things for my good.
That was excellent. Thank you. Our scripture lesson today is from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and courts with his praise. Give thanks and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Covenant with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. You can find that in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So what I want you to do is imagine being here on Sunday morning and you enter praising God by dancing your way in. Or with shouts of joy as you come into this place. Now those are highly visible ways of praise, but they're not the only ways. Please pray with me. Amazing God, may the words of my lips and the listening ears of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable in thy sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. This month, we're looking at worship. Pastor Sherry started us off a couple weeks ago with worship is communion. And last week, Deacon Loretta showed us how worship is prayer. Now, if you missed either of those, you can find them at the church website and listen to those. This week, we're going to cover that worship is praise. So keep in mind, worship doesn't just include communion or have a moment of prayer. You see, worship is communion. Worship is prayer. Worship is praise. And next week, Pastor Sherry will tell us, worship is hope. Now, last week, if you were here, Loretta mentioned that the first Christians, when they came to worship, they expected Christ to show up. They thought he was going to be coming back. He was going to return. And as we talk about praise today, keep that in mind. I want you to think of that. When you worship in prayer, in praise, in hope, imagine Christ has shown up and is here with us. So praise is one of those words that we hear. Missy shared that it's both a noun and a verb. Well, there's a couple different definitions I want to give you so we have a frame of reference. It's the grateful homage in words or song. It's an act of worship. There's also another definition that I found in the New International Version of the Bible. It was at the beginning, and it described it this way. Praise, the joyful thanking and adoring of God, the celebration of his goodness and grace. Praise is a song to God, like Michael shared this morning in the choir. Shouts of joy, thanks, recognizing God's power. I'll mention it again, the power of music. It's celebration. It's on your knees. It's on the ground. It's also standing up with your arms raised in the air. It's loud. It's prayer. It's unexpected. And it's also very quiet. You see, all worship is praise. Psalm 150 tells us, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And it means everything. Now, I don't know if these are prairie dogs or are they marmots? Meerkats. Who said that? Who's smarter than me? Well, everybody raise your hand. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And what we find out as we flip through the Bible and you spend some time in it, you'll find that even the devil and evil bows down before Jesus. From Mark chapter 3, whenever the impure spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. Jesus praised God. At that time, Jesus, full of the joy of the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. You can find that in Luke. Now, one of the issues we run into, though, is, and we got a taste of that, we sometimes praise the wrong thing. So I want to offer just a couple of examples of that. Anyone here praise a sports star? Let me think of one recently that comes. Tom Brady, I think, is his name. New England Patriots. He did something amazing. So we praise Tom Brady. And don't do that louder. Repeat it, because that would be bad. I'll give you another one. We praise politicians. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. You know, you can pick whoever you're following or you believe in, but we praise them, and not always, but sometimes. And not only is the focus on us praising others, but who doesn't like it when others are praising us? I mean, I like accolades. You know, please, stop. No, stop. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now do that for God. Praise God. Yeah. It sounds different. That was louder, wasn't it? I didn't even need one of those little meters going up. And what we're told is there's actually two times to praise God. When you feel like it, and when you don't. You praise God in the good times. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." If you're happy, praise God. But it's not all happy times. There are difficult times. There are challenges. There are bad times. And I want to tell you that even in those moments, praise is what we should be doing. When you're at a funeral and there's the greeting offered, if you listen very carefully, here's how the greeting starts. "Friends, we have gathered here to praise God." And the Psalms, which Loretta shared last week, is our book of prayer. It's also our book of praise. Now, some of them are upbeat, exciting, joyful. Other ones are the exact opposite. They're when we're praising God in our sorrow, our pain, our mourning, our grief. These are known as laments. And laments are what we're sharing and praising God when we're absolutely crushed. And how can we do that? How can we get there? And I found a quote by B.W. Anderson, and he describes it. "Laments are really expressions of praise offered in a minor key in the confidence that Yahweh is faithful." So think about a movie or a drama you watched where they went into a minor key. You could feel it inside that something changed and something was happening, but it's still part of the story. And when it comes right down to it, there's one major way we can praise and how we should praise God and why we should praise God, and it's for Jesus' death and resurrection. Here is the greatest gift ever given, and it deserves our praise. And we should praise God always. Now, today's reading from Psalm 100 tells us, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Now, for you biblical scholars, you may have noticed I skipped over verse 3. I wanted you to hear those verses that talk about praise. But verse 3 actually shares something a little bit different. It invites us to know something. And here's what it says. "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Do you know that? Do you recognize that? The reason we offer praise is humanity begins and ends with God. And the psalm closes with other reasons to give praise. "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So in biblical terms, and in modern times, to live is to praise God, and to praise God is to live. So take a moment and just think about a time where you were truly immersed in praise and where you connected. This is one of those places where that happens for me. Another place, and for those of you who have attended the annual conference here in the Detroit Annual Conference with the United Methodist Church, when you have a couple thousand clergy and laity together praising God as one, it's incredible. It gets right into your soul. This past fall, my wife Sue and I had the opportunity to praise at the Wesley Chapel in London. And it was a unique experience in one, while it's in English, it's not our English. So what's the line? Yeah, two people separated by a common language. So it was different, but it was similar. The other thing that happened at this service is there was a couple that had gotten married the day before, and they had immigrated from Africa. And so the bride and the groom, all the family members were dressed in their traditional garb, and the colors were incredible. And you couldn't help but praise God when you saw it and heard their voices raised together as one. There's new ways to worship. Because there are many ways we worship and praise. Now, a lot of us turn to music, and that is one way we can praise God. And I want to show you a quick video clip from a group called Under Oath. I don't know why I get the feeling that's not your type of music. Better without the sound. Well, God may disagree with you because under oath, they're praising God. Now, we may not understand the words, but I'm pretty sure God does. And I think God smiles when they share their praise because they're touching it in a different way. Now, we'll get it a little bit more simple for you. Can I borrow that hymnal? All right. Grab it, it's in front of you. We don't get these out very much anymore because it's on the screens, but if you turn to the beginning of the hymnal where the music starts, it starts on page 57, which is the song we opened up this morning, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Thank you, choir. They can't not sing. You have to give praise. Well, in his book, The Unquenchable Worshipper, Matt Redman, who's a Christian music star, for lack of a better term, he wrote about this hymn in his book, The Unquenchable Worshipper, and when he talked about it, he said at first it struck him that a thousand tongues, what's the big deal? I mean, we have a thousand tongues gathered in worship at annual conference. Why is that such a big, you know, who cares? And what he realized, and it hit him, and here's what he says. Wesley was saying, I wish I had a thousand tongues, because if I did, I'd praise God with every single one of them. I mean, imagine that image. It's a little silly. But it also tells us about extreme praise. And so as you flip through this book, you'll notice the first part up here on the right on page 57 says praise and thanksgiving. So the music in the United Methodist hymnal starts out with praise. But it doesn't stop there. If you go into the back and in the middle, you're going to find songs of praise everywhere. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. For the Beauty of the Earth, number 92. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. We're going to be singing in a little while, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. One of my favorites, God of the sparrow, God of the whale. How does the creature say praise? Cat Stevens' song, Morning is Broken. Praise with elation, praise every morning. Hymn 333, I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing, I'm going to shout when the Spirit says shout, and obey the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you. So where are we supposed to praise God? Now, I think it's pretty easy to praise God here on Sunday mornings, right? You have a choir, you have Susan on the organ, you have special music like Michael Howe shared, you have an order of worship. It's all laid out for you. All you have to do is show up and praise. That's real easy. But it's not the only place. For some, there's times where it's difficult to praise, and we've talked about some of those, and it's time where it may be difficult to praise outside of this place. It may not be comfortable. But let's start off easy. When you're out in nature and you see an amazing sunset, it's easy to praise God. So you're out for a walk, you're around, you're experiencing it. You can praise God at work. Although I wouldn't, you know, get the hands going and all that because some of your coworkers might freak out. You can praise in the hospital. You can praise in your car, keeping at least one hand on the wheel. You can praise at home. And you can praise over a cup of coffee, one of God's wonderful gifts to us. And we do this for a variety of reasons. But I found this quote from the All About God website. Thanksgiving describes our attitude toward what God has done, while praise is offered for who God is. We can praise God for his holiness, his mercy, and his justice. You can turn to 2 Chronicles 20 and find that. You can praise God for his grace. You can find that in Ephesians. You can praise him for his goodness. That's in Psalm 135. You can praise God for kindness. That's in Psalm 117. And you can praise God for his salvation, which is Ephesians chapter 2. So as you go out this week, what I want you to do is build on the challenge opportunity that Loretta gave us last week, which was to add 10 minutes to your prayer time each day. I'm not going to do minutes here. What I'm going to do is, let's go with a count. Praise 5 more times each day. Okay? And I know nobody's keeping count right now, so how will you know you went up? It'll feel like it. You'll go, wow, I praised God a lot today when you look back, because you've praised him for the sunshine. Who didn't praise God yesterday? Keep your hands down. Everybody praised God yesterday. It was incredible. But when it rains, you can praise God then too, because without rain, we don't have flowers, but let's keep it under a reasonable amount. California can't decide whether they're going to be drought or flood. Those are their two options. There's quiet times where you can praise. Praise him in your joys, your struggles, because God made all of it. Now, if you don't know what to say, I'm going to give you a simple word to use. Ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to close with a prayer that I found at faithandworship.com, and I've adapted it, so please pray with me. How can we praise you? In life's ordinary moments, while walking, in the car, at home and work, with all those distractions, how can we praise you? How can we praise you when time is so precious, appointments and goals distracting our focus, muddying waters made clean for your purpose? How can we praise you? How can we praise you through all of our actions, a smile and a greeting, a shoulder to lean on, a thoughtful word, love and compassion in all situations? Amen.